There is no other life but in Christ Jesus. Father God, I thank you for the body. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for my body. Father God, I ask now that you teach us about our body, your body and our body, so we may understand what a blessing we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father God, I praise you for the truth. I praise you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read the entire, Lord willing, the entire book of Philippians. There's only four chapters. And then I'm going to try to apply it to two bodies, the body of Christ and the body of Reuben Galvis. And if you find a place in here to apply it to your body, I suggest that you do, because it's going to be for your benefit. It's been impressed upon me by the Lord that I need to start preaching to me, and I need a healing just like everyone else. Amen. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, first of all, we're going to have a little bit of difficulty here if we keep thinking the way we've been taught to think in all of our churchiness prior to coming here. And that is trying to find a way to apply all the scriptures to our lives. Most churches do not. Most churches would pass that one up. Because obviously my name is not Paul. We do have a Timothy now. Amen. But he's a little young yet to be a servant of Jesus Christ. We do have some saints in Christ Jesus here, but we're in El Cajon and not in Philippi. And we have no elected bishops and deacons, so we're going to have a little bit of difficulty here unless we learn to think in a godly fashion. I will show you as the message progresses, God willing, that Paul is me, my natural body, my natural instinct, my appetites, the real me outside of Jesus Christ. That part of me that just wants what it wants and doesn't care what it has to do to get it, but still wants it. Even though he knows it's not good for it, he still wants it. This is the part of me that knows how to get what's good for me, what's not good for me, what I like is not good for me, knows what's good for me, but doesn't want to get it. In other words, the natural me. Timotheus means dear to God, something saved by God for God, which is obviously my soul. So my body, this natural body that really rebels at everything that's right for it, and my soul that is saved by God are the servants of Jesus Christ. In this church, the Paul side of me and the Timotheus side of me are the servants of Jesus Christ. No other part of me was ordained to serve Jesus Christ but the Paul and Timotheus side of me. So two-thirds of me are the servants of Jesus Christ. And then it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Well, saints is the third part of me, my spirit, your spirit. But notice that Paul and Timotheus are servants of Jesus Christ, but my spirit is a servant of Christ Jesus. Appears to be backwards. You'll find out there's nothing backwards about the Lord. This is crossed for a reason. The natural side of me and the soul side of me can only serve Jesus Christ. But the saint side of me can only be a saint in Christ Jesus. You'll find out there's a big difference between the two. But I'm relating this again to my body. Grace be unto you. Bishops and deacons, by the way, I'll prove to you later, are my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my blood, all the systems, all the functions of my body are the bishops and the deacons. Bishops beginning with my head and deacons ending with the blood, that part of me that God gave to feed and cleanse my body. Again, I'm preaching this to me. And I think you can understand that the body, the blood of Christ, cleanses all of us from unrighteousness. But did you ever stop to think that your physical blood has the same duty? To cleanse you from everything that's wrong inside of your body. It's there to feed everything. What you eat is supposed to feed your body. What you breathe is supposed to feed your body. But the carrier, the messenger, the bishop is your blood. That same blood on the return trip takes everything that's wrong with you away and eliminates it through the organs. Sounds to me like my job with the church, doesn't it? To bring to you everything that's right, and then in counseling, listening to everything that's wrong, and helping in the removal and taking away from you everything that's wrong with you. Now, the difficulty with all Christians, I'm convinced, me included, is that we can see the spiritual aspects of this, but we don't understand that our body needs to be treated the same way for health, identically. Or your body will be in poor health, but your spirit will be in good health. In other words, my body, the blood in my body, has to act the same way as the spiritual blood of Christ did for my soul, for my mind, or I'll think right and act wrong. So you see, if I use my blood to send wrong things to my body by eating wrong, then doesn't it follow logically that my blood will then take away everything that's right? Because you see, the blood has to reverse its position. It has to take and then remove. Now, if it takes wrong, then it removes the reverse. And that's why people deteriorate with wrong diets, with anger, with poisons that you put inside of you. Because you don't understand that bodily, this body is just as much under the law of God as my spirit is. Now you declare that you understand how the blood of Christ cleanses, but I seem to forget that my blood physically has the same job to cleanse me. And because of that, I have to treat it the same way. Now, speaking to my liver and my kidney, see, this is a different message. I'm preaching to me, all of me, every bit of me, my body. And I say to my body, grace be unto you, liver and kidneys and blood, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, mercy, grace, I forgive you. It's going to be all right. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, if you lost so much as a big toe, you would have it in your mind a lot. Every time you try to walk or try to turn, you would remember the big toe, which is something you don't give a lot of thought to now, I'm sure, as I don't or haven't. We take our lungs, we take everything for granted until they're gone. And then you realize how important they are. And we've lost a couple very important parts of our body. I thank my God upon every remembrance of Helene and Corey. But I think I better start thanking my God upon every remembrance of what I have before some of it's gone. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Praying for my liver and my kidneys, yeah. Thanking God for them and making request that they would get clean air and clean food and clean water, yeah. How am I going to help you with that if I can't help myself with that? How are you going to help each other with that? And how are you going to accept all of this spiritually for your soul and then come to a screeching halt and change it all for your body without having conflict. And that's why we have conflict. See, the problem isn't with people outside of you. The problem is that there's a conflict between your soul and your spirit and your body. You've accepted everything from a soul and a spirit point of view, but with the body you say no. So there's a conflict between the two. And I finally learned what to do about it. Pray for my body. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, my body, my liver, my organs, my kidneys ought to have a fellowship in the gospel just like the rest of me. Doesn't make sense to think about God and pray and then put my body in fellowship with everything that's wrong. Wrong food, pollution from my lungs. That doesn't make sense. I need to have fellowship. It all has to be together for me to be together. So let's get it together. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have confidence that Jesus Christ will continue to have my kidneys, my heart, my liver performing just the way right until he comes back for us all. Which means no sickness, right? No pain. See, we've always been taught that this is something we should pray for others, and that's right, and that's true. It just isn't all the truth. Somewhere along the line, we forgot ourselves. We forgot one third of ourselves. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. In other words, whatever happens to me spiritually ought to happen to me physically. We're all supposed to be, all of me are supposed to be partakers of the grace of Jesus Christ. I stand before you now and confess that hasn't been true up until today. And I think you'll agree with me it's not true with you either.
Amen.
My body has a right to be a partaker of the grace that's in the rest of me. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. How much we pray and ask and believe, oh, if I can only stop doing this or that, and if my lungs didn't crave this or that, or my belly didn't crave this or that, or if I didn't need this or that, and you wish you were free from all of those things. Well, that's a beginning. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. In other words, other than just my body wanting to be right, it ought to have knowledge and be able to make judgments or accept judgments that are made by my brain. But you see, up until now, my body's no different than yours. I say something and think something right, and my body says, nah, that won't be any fun. We don't need that. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. In other words, this is saying, I have a right in my prayer to expect that all of my body will approve things that are excellent instead of the way that it is now with our bodies. Still approving of things that are not excellent. Still approving of things that you know mentally and spiritually and medically are not good for you. But there's a side of you that says, yeah, we still want to do that.
Amen.
So you see, this is saying that I have a right to, in order to get it together, to get this body together, that my body should approve of those things that are excellent. In other words, for me to continue this war where my brain, my soul is fighting against my body and my body is fighting against my soul is an exercise in futility. It's going to make people sick. I'm not going to do that anymore. I have a right to expect the rest of my body to approve of the things that my mind approves of. And you say, well, that's so hard. No, it isn't. Because when your mind made up its mind that you were going to smoke, your lungs said, the first drag, didn't it? And the second one. And remember that first drink that you took? All the way down. Everything was reversed, wasn't it? Your mind was saying wrong and your body was saying, no, we don't want that. But sooner or later, your mind won out, didn't it? And now your body says, whoopee, let's do it. I just wonder if we could reverse that process. If it worked to take us from wrong to from right to wrong, wouldn't it work to take us from wrong to right? Of course it would. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Jesus Christ. Jesus being first. Jesus being Jehovah saved. Now, what part of you is Jehovah saved? Your soul. So you're filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by your thinking. By your soul. The Jesus part of you. I might as well tell you now, the Christ part, which makes you saints, means Christ means an anointed one, one who has been appointed as ruler, as priest, as bishop. That's me. But in your body and my body, the bishop, the ruler, the Christ, the anointed one, is my soul, my head, the one that makes the decisions. So I'm filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by what I think. So if you are filled with the fruits of unrighteousness, then it's by what you think. Which again, you see how important a role your body plays in your spiritual welfare. I spent a whole week preparing all of these, and I can see now, by the time I get through reading this, it might be Wednesday before I touch the first one. Verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, I want you to understand, liver and kidneys and heart and pancreas, brothers, we work together here. Amen. That the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You see, my kidneys and my liver and I, we were brothers. And we went everywhere together and we enjoyed those things together. They were killing us, but we were enjoying them. And now I'm saying to my body, look, brothers, I want you to understand what happened to this half of me. The reason I don't agree with you anymore, because of the furtherance of the gospel. Something happened to me. And that's why you're still brothers, I still love you, but we don't agree anymore. And I want you to understand why we've had this falling out. Because of the furtherance of the gospel, the good news that I got. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So that the bondage that I have, my desire for my mind to be in bondage to everything that's right, I want it to be manifest in the whole palace, everywhere, and in all the places. I want all of me to want Jesus Christ, the truth, as bad as this does. I don't want any more conflict. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, there were some parts of my body that said, oh, wow, yes. There were some things I was doing that I never did really enjoy. I just did them because everybody else was. Had no problem getting rid of those things. And you have such a list yourself. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So you see, there were parts of my body that said, you get into this Christian stuff, we're not going to be able to do this, we can't party anymore, we're not going to have any more fun, and it's going to be envy and strife. And some of goodwill, that's the things that you wanted to quit. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds. You're never going to change. This Jesus Christ came and just split us apart, didn't he? And you're always going to want to do this, and you're never going to have freedom, but you want to be a Christian. See, that's the battle that goes on inside still. That part of me was supposing to add affliction to my bonds. In other words, you don't want to do this, and now you're going to suffer for not wanting to do wrong anymore, which is just the opposite of the truth. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There were some things I wanted out of so bad, and I had no way. Bondage to the women, beginning with my mother. I was glad to get out of that. There were some things I wasn't so glad to get out of. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. So it doesn't matter if a part of your body is saying, we're going to be fighting all along. Still, there's a conflict where there never was before. Because before, your mind was in agreement. So you were on your way to death a lot sooner, a lot faster than you are now. Kind of put the skids on it a little bit. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. In other words, instead of feeling bad about the conflict, know that it's the beginning of your healing. Because at least 2/3 of you is on the right way now. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Clean air. The supply of cleansing for the Jehovah saved, my soul. Getting nutrition, blood that's full of oxygen and good nutrition rather than the opposite. In other words, he says, you're not going to think completely right until you cleanse the thinking machine. How can we ever think right if we keep putting bad fuel into the system? You can change plugs, distributors, plug wires, condensers, whatever else goes in those machines till you're blue in the face. But if you burn cheap gas in that thing, that's not going to run right, and it's going to make deposits on there, and you're going to foul up the plugs almost as fast as you put them in. Even a car knows that. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, then in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, whether it be because the right lives or the wrong dies. It's magnifying Christ. But notice where you magnify Christ, in the body. But see, we have strife and contention in the body. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So you see, the things that you get, that you live by Christ, Christ being again. Remember, Jesus is the soul that Jehovah saved. Christ is the anointed one, the head, the Messiah, the part that makes the decisions. For me to live is to think. And for the part of me that doesn't think, for that to stop thinking, for that to die, is gain. Now, that doesn't mean physical death. That means for it to stop making the decisions. But if, and we can also apply this, by the way, to ourselves spiritually in the loss that we've had. To live as Christ and to die as gain. So to us as Christians, there is no death. No one has died in this church. Got a couple people moved on us, but that's it. So we live in the flesh, and they now have gain. They're better off than we are now. And then Paul said something that's very important. But if I live in the flesh, if I live in the body, this doesn't mean in worldly lust. If I physically live in the body, this is the fruit of my labor. In other words, this is my reward for what I'm doing. I get to live in this body. Not exist in it. Not fight in it, not have a conflict in it, but I get to live in my body. It serves me, I serve it. Yet, what I shall choose, I want not, which means I can't make up my mind what I want to do. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. In other words, he says there's a real conflict here, and I know that we all feel this. Some of you think you have suicidal tendencies. Some of you think, I'm next. Am I going to be next? Get that out of your mind. You have a natural desire, and you're caught in between two things. having a desire to be with Christ, get out of this mess, which is far better. That's a natural tendency to want what's better. Satan is trying to use that as some premonition of death or guilt. And I reject that on the Word of God. Amen. So I'm a straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Christ, again, being the anointed, the head, the ruler. So I have a desire to depart from this and live up here, which is far better. It's gain. Even though you'll think you're going to lose this pleasure and that pleasure, believe me, there are no pleasures. So see, we can apply this spiritually. We can apply this to the body as a body of Christ. We can apply this to you spiritually. Or we can apply this to you physically. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. For me to be in this body is more needful for you than for me to be gone. For me to be in this body is more needful for this part of my body than for me to be gone. Because how's my liver and kidneys going to do without me? They're going to do nothing without me. So it is needful, it is more needful for you, liver, kidneys, heart, pancreas, for me to abide in the flesh. You need to understand the roles here. You, the flesh needs you, not the other way around. How much longer are you going to listen to it and think of only those things that are good for you? Verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Sounds like a long life to me. Having this confidence that it's needful for my body, for my organs, for my blood, for the physical side of me, it is needful for my spirit and my soul to stay right here, even though I'd rather be with Christ. And I'll tell you right now, I'd rather be with Christ. But somebody needs me here yet.
Amen.
And some bodies need me here yet. And somebody needs you yet. I don't want any more loss.
Amen.
Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Now it's reversed again. Jesus Christ, Jesus being again, remember Christ is the Messiah, Jesus is the Jehovah saved, the soul part of you, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in your soul, in your thinking, for me by the coming to you again. In other words, for my soul to be back in control and running the show again. He says, we'll all rejoice. There'll come a time when your lungs will say, oh, thank you. Thank you that you're not listening to me anymore. Now, I'm not telling you there's something spiritually wrong with you. I'm telling you there's something bodily wrong. Something we can do something about. How? Verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Many times have I told you, don't say you need that stuff. Don't even say you want it. Never told you to stop it. I just said, quit saying. Your conversation has to change. Quit saying you need it. Quit even thinking you need it. Do it all you want. But if you stop thinking and saying it, you won't want to be doing it very much longer. Now, I know you can stop talking about it. If I told you stop doing that or stop talking about it, you can do one or the other, it would shoot you right between the eyes right now. You'd say, oh, I'd rather stop talking about it. And I say, that's all I'm saying. Stop talking about it. Go ahead and do it. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, saying, if you quit saying the wrong things, there's going to be some strife. They're going to strive together with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, which means your body will naturally try to go back to what's good for it. If your conversation would just change. Because you remember when your body first was introduced to those things, it naturally rebelled against tobacco. It rebelled against alcohol. It rebelled against sugar. You got headaches. You got all. And now if you eat a little bit, you get a headache in a minute. So you see, this is saying if you would just quit talking about how you need those things, quit convincing your body that they're good and they're necessary and you can't do without them, little by little your body will start striving itself against those things. And pretty soon you're going to start coughing when you drag one. Pretty soon you're going to eat something that's going to stick right in your throat. It won't even smell good. And then it's easy to give it up. In other words, all God is really saying here, all Paul is saying here is, if we get our minds right, your body will naturally come back to the level that it was before you started on the decline. Which means there's nothing spiritual involved in terms of how much you pray, how much you love me or love the Lord or love anybody else. He says, this is logic. This is from your Creator. The one who created you is telling you how to make you work right again. Basically saying, you want this to work right? Don't touch it. You have as much mechanical ability in terms of the body as I have in terms of mechanics. If I want that machine not to work right, I'll just touch it. Move some things. Leave it alone. Verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You're never going to stop this. Well, always, you're always going to this. No, nothing terrified by your adversaries, those that speak against your body. Bacteria, viruses, diseases, phlegm, coughs, aches and pains, those are all adversaries. And they come and knock on the door and you get a little twinge here and there and they say, may we come in? And the answer is no. I get symptoms or what appears to be the symptoms of disease all the time. And you've heard me, I'll cough and hack a little bit and then gone. Why? Because in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Which means this terror is to them, not to us. I have a system that's programmed to kill all of that bacteria and all of those things that's trying to kill me. So there's a war going on. I think I need to get on the right side of this. Do you understand my body is programmed to protect me? I have an immunity system, white blood cells in my blood that are programmed. They're little Patriot missiles. And they scan and they see anything that doesn't belong. They have radar. And boy, they'll just shoot it right out and boy, they're dead. That's the way my body ought to work. Verse 29, for unto you it is given. I guess that's where I'm. Yeah. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, suffer does not mean pain, anguish, and turmoil. It comes from an English word, allow. Not only to believe on him, but also to allow for his sake. In other words, I don't have to fight it. God programmed my body to do the fighting for me. If I just leave it alone, give it what it needs in terms of nutrition, rest, my body will take care of me. I take care of it. It takes care of me. So I just allow. I don't have to worry. I don't have to try to figure things out myself. Just do the things that are simple. Rest, eat right, drink right, think right. That's it. Verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me, which basically means I have the same problems, the same conflicts that you have, but also have the same solutions. If there be therefore any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, comma, not period, fulfill ye my joy. Talking again to my body, my liver, my pancreas, my kidneys. Come on, guys, make me happy. Fulfill my joy. That ye may be like-minded. I want you to enjoy clean water, kidneys, just like I do. Let's be like-minded. Let's stop this fighting back and forth. And by the way, once you start fighting with yourself internally, you'll stop fighting with those external of you. Heal your marriage as well as anything. And you won't fight at work anymore either. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. In other words, conflicts don't start outside of you. The conflicts outside are an extension of whatever's inside of you. So if you are of one accord and of one mind here, then you are only going to attract those external of you that are of one accord and one mind. Birds of a feather flock together. You've heard the expression, you get up on the wrong side of the bed and everything goes downhill from there. Why? Because you're attracted to everybody that got out of that same side of the bed that morning. No matter where you go, you run into every jerk in town. On the freeways, you're driving down the freeway and everybody's showing you the way to heaven, right? He's an amputee, so he meant to show you the way to heaven, but he lost that particular digit in an accident, so, you know, he... What can I say? You find those people everywhere. Well, what's attracting them? You are. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see, we put such a high priority on taste, on stomach, what tastes good, what fills the tummy and makes us feel good. We put such high priority on those things, but no one ever thinks about kidneys and what they have to do. No one ever thinks about their back and their lowly little disc in the back until it starts being irritated and you can't move. You realize how many things you need, how many things you do that you cannot do properly without your little tiny old disc. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't abuse any part of your body. Now, if you can get that spiritually and then physically for yourselves, how do you think you'd be as a husband and a father at home if every member of the body of your family was esteemed better than you? I think they would esteem themselves lower than you, and everybody would be held in esteem, but no one would have to demand it, would it? It would just be automatic. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Kidneys, don't be just thinking of what tastes good to you. Think of what this is going to do to the mind when we take in this stuff that makes you feel good, this sugar and all of this stuff. Think what it's going to do to the brain when we get all that sugar up there and cause headaches and cause the thinking to be impaired. Don't be so selfish, kidneys. Start thinking of the brain. And heart, you got to understand, you have to pump right and cleanse and oxygenate the blood so that we can take care of the brain, so we can think clearly, so we can go through life aware and perceptive of what's around us. But you see, our body is so selfish. Each organ only thinks of itself. And you programmed it that way.
That's right.
And now we're learning to unprogram it. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, you got to start thinking like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. My Bible says I'm made in the image and likeness of God, so I have the form of God. And he says, now that you have the form of God, don't think it's robbery to be equal with God. Now, equal doesn't mean I can overrule him externally, but in my body, be honest now, God said, thou shalt not, and any time you want, you can. You can overrule God in your body. Now, here's the problem. Satan knows you have that power to overrule God in your body. He's deathly afraid you're going to learn that. But yet he knows you have this power to overrule God. So what do? You look for God in other people. Don't do that or I'll divorce you. Don't do that or I won't like you. Stop that or I'll beat you. Stop that or I'll put you in the corner. Well, what are you doing? You're using your power to overrule God, but you're trying to use it in other people. It doesn't work there. If you use your power in yourself, then why would you want to overrule God when God is the giver of good gifts? Well, because there's a different God in charge now. His name is you. So we can overrule him too. If we can overrule the God, we can overrule a God. So see, don't think that you're locked into these things and you're never going to get out. Overrule them. That's how you got in. You overruled. Your body said, no, this is wrong. Your body rejected. You even threw up. The first time I drank beer. And I forgot what I ate. I ate a what's called a Pasky special, which is a grease ball. It's sausage. If you don't eat it right away, the bun gets like wet. That's how much grease in those things. Huge things. And I went out, Mr. Cool, and I had my first beers. I had three beers. And I was flying on just three beers. I couldn't even warm up the engines later on with three beers. But I was already in orbit. And I went to this place and I ate a Pasky special because that's where we all got together. And Mr. Cool had three beers, wanting to be cool. Went out in the parking lot to talk to some honeys in the car. Yes, yes. All over the parking lot. My body overruled, says, you ain't going to do this to us. But I insisted and I persisted. And there was a time I could eat and drink two, three, six packs and a couple Pasky specials on top of that. I overruled my body. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men. See, God says, look, God made himself of no reputation. Can't you do the same? Can't you function? Can't your body? Is there a time in your life where your body can be an example? Use Jesus as an example and not be so gung-ho and fired up on what your body wants. Until we get your mind right, and then your body will agree and you'll want everything that's right. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is really saying he became obedient unto the death of the cross. Now, what died or who died at the cross? Sin did. So you got to understand this. You got to understand what death is all about. Sin died, not us. Jesus did not die. 3 days later, he was up in Adam again and now sits in heaven. We don't die. Sin dies. People have it a little bit backwards. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name. I already know that before even turning the thing over, I read this thing, I don't know how many times on the trip. Given him a name which is above every name. In other words, what this is saying is God, when you let sin die, now how do you let sin die? Just don't feed it anymore. I don't care what it is that you do. And what does it need for? It needs words first, and then it needs whatever you give it. So he said, now if you stop feeding it, it's going to die. And then you will have a name exalted above every name, which means you, the real you, will be exalted above all the rest of you. No more bondage. No more things tugging at you and making you think you're losing out on something that you desperately need. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Wow, how about things on the earth? Could earth mean your body? Heaven is the gospel, the good news. That's what goes on in your mind. In earth are the things that are internal inside of you, and under the earth are things that are in subjection to you, which is your body again. Now, what happens? Well, when you stop feeding sin, you get a name that's above every name, and then everything underneath is now in subjection. Just like it happened to Jesus Christ is how it can happen to you. Are you starting to understand what an exalted position we have as Christians? You're starting to understand how important your body is in this life that we've been given? I mean, why would Jesus Christ die for our lives and for the body that we live in and then just walk off and say, just soul and spirit, just like most Christians, all they think about is soul and spirit. Some of the most charismatic people I know are also the fattest people I know. Because they don't think anything about their body. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Tongue means language. Everything you say, you'll never again say, oh, I have to do that. I can't help myself. You'll be able to say, everything will be say, yes, we want, not only can we want to do those things. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have all, wow. Yes, wow is right. Okay, we're going to have to quit right here. We'll pick it up in verse 12. Let's do a little singing. And I'm not going to use any of my yellow papers today, it appears like. Okay, so we'll leave. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Are you starting to understand how important your body is? How important members of the body are? I would pray above everything that if nothing else out of this tragic loss of members of the body, we would take that feeling that you have now and start looking at yourself. Say, what can I afford to lose here? What would I not mind not functioning anymore? And if you're like me, I couldn't find a thing. My God says, not even one hair of my head. They're numbered. He says, you can't even, not even a hair can fall down that I don't know about. Just one hair. I've got thousands. You're going to find out God has a lot more for us than we even realized. Amen. And it's not as hard as we'd like to believe. In fact, it's a lot simpler. Brother Weldon, would you close the service in prayer? We left off in chapter 2, but I'm going to read verse 1 again. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. As I said, this message is being preached to the body of Christ and the body of Reuben, and you can apply it to yourself. Paul is my natural state, my appetites, the natural side of me. Timothy is my soul, or Timotheus, that's the Jehovah saved, that's the part of me that Jesus saved. And the saints in Christ Jesus is my spirit. Philippi is where I live, the natural side of me, where I live, and I'll show you what Philippi means later. Bishop is my intellect, the part of me that makes decisions, the ruler. And deacons is all of my body system, blood, liver, pancreas, organs, all of the things that make my body work, that keep it in repair, that keep things up. You'll find that they're custodians. They're maintenance workers. They're the things that keep things functioning the way that they should, and they remove everything that's wrong and get rid of it on a daily basis, by the way, just like your blood. Now we left off in chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. My beloved, again, being my body, my system, all the things that God blessed me with, he says, as you have always obeyed, when I told you I wanted to smoke, you smoked and enjoyed it. When I told you we wanted to drink, we drank and we enjoyed it. When I told you we wanted to cuss, you always obeyed. Come on, body, you've always obeyed. Don't tell me now that all of a sudden, if my mind changes and I start saying I don't want to do those things anymore, don't lie to me that you're not going to obey. See, think about it. Your body's always obeyed you. And now it's trying to tell you, or you're trying to tell yourself, that you can't. And that's not true. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You're so obedient, body, that after I decided on a certain thing, you became habitual so that I could do it without even thinking. Right. I never even have to tell you anymore, let's go out and do this or that. You just naturally did. What an obedient body that we have. God says, look, this is simple. You're trying to tell me, and you're trying to tell yourself that your body is in rebellion, when in fact your body is obeying what you think and what you say. That's your problem. Your body's never been your problem, and neither is mine. My body has always obeyed me. My body always will obey me. And if I want to turn over all the functions of my brain to my body, it will obey them too. And God forbid that I ever do that, because if you ever do, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your body doesn't know how to breathe without your brain. Your heart doesn't know how fast or how soon or how regular to beat without the signals from your brain. Your kidneys don't know what to retain or how soon. It'll either run everything through you or hold everything and poison your system. Kidneys can't think. If you turn over those functions, they're going to obey and they're going to do what they're functioned to do, and that is everything but think. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. You've become habitual about being wrong. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understand this, I've given you salvation. I now tell you what's right, body. Now work it out. Now that doesn't mean come up with some new salvation. When you go work out your body, you work out what you have. You make it stronger. So working out your salvation means your lungs get stronger. You can breathe more. You can get more clear blood to your system. Your hair will shine. Your everything will get healthy. Your teeth will gleam. Your skin will be smooth and shiny because, well, what is happening? Well, see, you're working out your system instead of wearing it out and clogging it up. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work the way God intended for you to work. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now see, here's the battle right there. You think that you're supposed to want to, and then you're supposed to. And God says, look, even the desire to want to comes from God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, what's the problem? It is not that you don't want to do right. The problem is you don't want to will right. You don't want to think right. And let me tell you why you don't want to will right. Because it doesn't say Jesus, it doesn't say Jehovah worketh, it says God, the one that makes the ultimate decision. See, this word God there is interchangeable. It can mean the supreme God or a deity, a magistrate, a ruler, someone who makes the final decision. So this is a term that's interchangeable with deity. Basically, it means, for it is the one who makes the final decision, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you see, when you say, well, yeah, my body wants to because I feel better, and besides that, everybody else is doing it, and everybody will know that I'm bad if I don't, so I want to do it, but secretly, you're still thinking the old way. So see, he says, the God in you, the one that makes the final decision, that's the one that gives you the will and the to do. So what is the problem? Wrong God. It's you in charge. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and without disputings. Which that ought to tell you who's in charge. How could this be the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to you, preaching to your body and to mine, and your body saying no, murmuring and disputing? And still have that be Christ in you. That can't be God against God. Can't be right against right. Well, the problem is the one that makes the final decisions in your body is the one that gives you the will. So whatever it is you want to do tells you who's God. If you want to do right, you'll do right, but that's not the problem. What you want to do tells you who's in charge. And that's where the problem is. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Doesn't that sound poetic and nice? Now let me tell you what it means. This is talking now to your system. This is the body of Christ. Not just the church, this is my physical body. that you may be blameless and harmless. Heart that's harmless, not going to attack me. Kidneys that are harmless, they're not going to infuse me with diabetes. They're not going to retain toxins in my system. My kidneys will be harmless and blameless, by the way. The sons of God without rebuke. See, what this is really saying is what you're doing is you're programming your body to be against you. And God programs your body to work for you. That you may be blameless, liver and kidneys and heart and pancreas and all the rest of it, blood, lungs, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. These are my sons. These are my brethren. This is my body. This is God's gift to me. This is where I got to live. This is where I want to live. This is where I am living. This is where I'll continue to live. This is life. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, without fighting back and forth with myself, fighting with my own body, my body fighting with me. And we try to stop it at the marital level when all the time the problem began inside of you. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, without strife, without having to think bad of one another, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, there's a crooked and perverse nation inside of me. Now let me tell you what it is. The ground is cursed for Adam's sake. There's nothing you can eat, I don't care how organically pure it is, that isn't full of junk, besides being full of nutrition. So God gave us a system to weed out the wrong from the good. But he says, now inside of you, there's wickedness, there's bacteria, there's phlegm, there's virus, there's every kind of crooked and perverse thing inside of you that you take in as you breathe. It comes in with everything else. You take it in when you drink. It comes in with things that are floating around. They crawl in your ears. They crawl up your nose. They go into your system. There's tiny microscopic bacteria. There's a wicked and a perverse nation inside of you. And he says, now my body ought to shine among them as lights in the world. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the conflict is inside of you. And it's something we cannot escape because there's no way to eat so pure that nothing gets inside of you. This is a wicked world that we're in. Now, once we get to heaven, we won't have this problem. But right now, the kingdom of God is inside of me. I've got a system that will weed those things out. And as it weeds out those wicked and perverse things at the physical level, they never become mental because, you see, they come in this way. They harbor themselves inside of your body, hoping and praying that you'll be stupid enough not to use your immunity system properly, not to have the right reverence for your body so that they won't be killed at this level and excreted, gotten rid of, poo-pooed, in other words. Hoping that somehow you will allow them to get into your blood. The life is in the blood. The minute they get into your bloodstream, the next two or three heartbeats, it's in the soul, in the mind. Now your thinking starts changing. But if you can keep it out of getting to this level, to your soul, because you cannot keep it from getting in, quit knocking yourself out by keeping those bad things from getting in. The problem is not there. The problem is they get into the palace. They get into the temple. And the way they do that is you do not reverence the lungs, all of your digestive system, the immunity system. You don't treat them right. You feed them wrong. You give them marshmallows to fight the war with when they ought to have good, sound nutrition. You give them all the wrong things. See, so they can be blameless and harmless. They're not supposed to hurt you. They're supposed to help you. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, you cannot afford to let those things that are in your system into your bloodstream. You cannot afford that. It will kill you eventually. You have to do everything you can do to keep that system working properly. We're talking life and death here. We're not talking happiness and shiny hair. That's part of it. But ultimately, we're talking life and death. Ultimately, we're talking that's either going to happen on this earth or it's going to happen somewhere else, but it's going to happen. And it's for me. I'm telling you right now, I've learned on this trip. Oh boy, have I learned. And as God is my witness, I'm water. I'm going to take the purest kind of food that I can find. I'm cutting out. Don't even show me dressings anymore. I don't want nothing anymore. I want to get my system as pure as I believe this. And I believe my body can enjoy the food that was right for it just as much as it has been the junk. And I've cleaned up my diet, but I can see now not enough. I can see now there's more work to be done. See, there's a crooked and a perverse nation inside of you, and there's nothing I can do about it. This is the kind of world that I live in. And that's why this blessing that God gave me, this body that God gave me, has got to be taken care of. And look where the attacks are. Satan doesn't care what you believe, as long as you don't say it. Because as long as he can keep in control of your body, he'll get his wickedness, his wrong, into your bloodstream. And then once it gets into your brain, it will alter, make you high. It'll change the way you think. You'll get high, and then you'll get depressed. And then you'll get addicted to it, and you'll need more to get higher, and then you'll get more depressed. And pretty soon you've poisoned your entire system. And now instead of your body being blameless and harmless, now it starts attacking you. You get attacks of the gout. Even your big toe will attack you. Well, gout is nothing more than an extension and a manifestation of wrong diet. Parts of your body attacking you that God said ought to be harmless. They ought to be harmless and blameless. And if they're blameless, why are you punishing them? Why are you giving them everything that's wrong? Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Christ, again, means the anointed one, the one who's consecrated to an office. So that means holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day that your head, your brain, this consecrated part of you, your soul that God gave you to run the whole thing, they may rejoice in the day of your thinking instead of your emotion. Why? That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So all this work will be for your benefit. But I'm relating it to my body now. So all this work, all this studying, all this preaching, all this counseling ought to benefit me. It's my system that ought to be first, then yours. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Yea, and if my appetites, if what I thought was good, what I used to enjoy, has to be sacrificed for the service of my liver, my kidneys, so that they can get what's right. Yea, I joy and I rejoice with you all, because if you're healthy, I'm healthy. And if I'm healthy, you're healthy. And if we're healthy, they'll be healthy. You see how this thing works? Verse 18, for the same cause also I do joy, I do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. In other words, there's a part of me. Paul is the natural part. Timotheus is my soul, my brain, the Jehovah saved part of me. He says, I want to be able to send my thoughts, the Jehovah-saved part of me, that rational soul, that thinking part of me, I want to be able to send that to the rest of me so that I'll know what shape I'm in, what condition I'm in. What is that an example of? That's an example of being totally in tune and perceptive to your body. Your body sends you little signals of things that are just, this isn't quite right. It starts with the taste, it doesn't taste right, but you'll develop a taste. You'll get by that. And it causes you to cough, but you'll get by that, and eventually things start happening that are more serious. But see, if you become perceptive to all that, so that your mind knows the condition of the rest of your body, what's the first thing that happens when they take you into a doctor? They hook you up to every kind of machine trying to find out what condition your body, and why? Because you're stupid. Your brain is out to lunch. Your soul has no concept of what's wrong with it. Yet I do not believe that God put me in a world whereby I have no way of knowing what's wrong with me. My immunity system has no way of gearing itself up to fighting those things because my mind's not aware of what's wrong. See, my immunity system's saying, what do you say, boss? What are we going to do? Oh, everything's fine. We're high. We're looking great. What's that? Oh, that's just a little twinge. There's nothing wrong with that. No, that's the beginning of bad diet. Calcium deposits, deposits of toxins in your system, pimples, whatever, toxins coming out. You forget those things. Hair turns dull. It's not shiny anymore. Your hair's dying little by little. Lack of nutrition, lack of oxygen in your system. But you see, your mind's not perceptive to those things. You don't know the condition of yourself. So one day you have to go to a man in a white coat and he puts some dumb machines hooked up to you at $20,000 an hour to tell you what's wrong with you. And that's more efficient than what God gave you? There is no way on this God's earth. So he said, I send my mind, my soul to the rest of you so that I know what your condition is. Verse 24, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. There's not a part of your body, no part of your body that gives a damn about you except your brain, your soul. The rest of it will eat itself to death. It will drink itself to death. It will smoke itself to death. It doesn't give a damn about you. Don't you understand this? Doesn't care about you. Why the hell do you care about it? That's beyond me, and I'm not talking to me now. The only salvation, the only hope I have is to take the part that Jesus saved, my soul, and put it back in control so that it can know what's wrong, so it can gear my immunity system. The minute there's a flare-up, boom, right away, everything goes into full-fledged warfare against that's against me. It says, for I have no mind, no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I have nothing else given of God that's going to care for my condition. Nothing. Do you understand how important it is for me to have blood coursing through this brain that is as pure as I can possibly make it? Because I have no other part of me that cares about me, that naturally cares for my condition, for my state. Everything else in my body only cares about itself. It only cares about what it wants, what makes it feel good. There are no feelings up here. In my mind, they're just rational thinking. This is the only hope we have. This is where Christ Jesus lives. I have to send this here, not the other way around. This cares for what's wrong down here. This part down here doesn't care for what's wrong up here. It's been poisoning your mind ever since you were a child. The first time someone gave you something wrong to eat, your body has been poisoning your mind. Your body does not care about your brain. But your brain does care about your body. And I've watched loved ones whose bodies took over when the brain stopped functioning. And it's not a sight that I want to repeat with any of you, with anyone ever again. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. You have nothing else going for you. It's the only hope we have. Now, I'm talking physically now. See, we get so involved in churches where we think everything is spiritual and we just float off into heaven and everybody's sick and in poverty and have this problem and that problem and it's just old age and it's just hereditary and it's just unlucky. That's bunk. That is a bunch of lies. God is just as concerned for your body as he is for your soul, as he is for your spirit. The problem is Satan knows he can do nothing about your soul and your spirit unless he goes through your body. And that's how he perverts soul and spirit. It says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. There is no other Timotheus inside of you. There is no other Jehovah saved. God saved your soul. Your spirit already belongs to him, and your body's not going. Your body's staying. You don't believe it? Go to the graveyards. The evidence there, no one took their body with them. And the spirit belonged to God to begin with. The only thing that you have is the soul. That's what he saved. Now he says, I don't have anything else but my soul, my mind, that knows what's wrong with me, that's geared naturally to care for my condition. Now he talks about the rest of your body. For they all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. See, the rest of my body only cares what it wants, only cares what makes it feel good. Doesn't care how it affects any other function. But I have a master control system up here that gears everything and says, well, yeah, this is good for you, but not good for you, so therefore it's not good. If it isn't something that's good for all of me, this system will reject it. Now, it can find nothing that's totally pure in and of itself, so it takes something and says, all right, now we have to separate. Now we have to take these toxins out of this food. We turn this nutrition into energy and heat, and we put that into the bloodstream, and the rest we send it to these organs, the liver, the pancreas, the lungs, and we get rid of the carbon dioxide. We get rid of what's wrong in the air. Through the rest of our organs, we excrete everything that's wrong in what we ingest, what we drink, and what we eat. So he says, but you see, the rest of my body says they all seek their own. Now all you have to do is just shoot something up or just put it directly into your system, and it just bypasses it and doesn't give a damn about the rest of it. It doesn't care what it's doing to you, by the way, because they all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. My soul and my natural, my physical body, you know the proof. I think and I do. I've helped you. God has used me to help you. So you see that. God has used you to help me, and I see that. Couldn't God use me to help me then? If he's willing to use me to help you, then why would he not use me to help me? Verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He says, I'm wanting to send a rational thought to the rest of the body. I want to send you a thought that doesn't have anything to do with your appetite and what you want. I want you to send you a thought that has to do with what's good for you, not what makes you feel good. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. In other words, I trust that before too much long, we're all going to be in agreement. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. And find again correlation with the blood. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Part of my body should die, then it would give sorrow upon sorrow. You've already seen the expression of that. We've already felt that, and we are feeling that. For we have had people that were sick unto death. This says, but God had mercy on him. God had mercy on this part of my body that I'm trying to kill. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also. So see, can't you see that to have mercy on your body is the equivalent of having mercy on yourself? You cannot do things that are hurting your body and still claim mercy and grace for the rest of you, because how can you separate yourself from your body? Well, there's only one way. It's a hard way. You don't want to do that. Verse 28, I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. I sent a rational thought. I sent Timotheus, my soul, rational thoughts, signals that are saying this is good, this is not good. And my prayer is that you, body, will rejoice when you start hearing good things again. When I take away from you the authority to make your own decisions and want things that are just for your own good and that hurt the rest of the body. I send him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, body, you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. I'll be happy when my body accepts and is rejoicing when these signals come down instead of, oh no, you mean we got to quit that too? We're not going to be able to do that? See, that's conflict. That's dispute. That's understandable, and I know that happens, but that's also unnecessary. He says, I want to see the day when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. In other words, start thinking that your mind knows more than your body about what's good for you. Which is going to have the reputation with you? Reputation means to hold in esteem, to reverence their ability, to reverence their opinion, to be in good reputation. He says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold those rational thoughts, those things that come from your mind, hold them in reputation, body. Don't be fighting with those thoughts and think that you know better. My body can never outthink my brain. My body can't think at all. All it can do is feel. Verse 30, because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here we have a correlation with the body of Christ and the body itself, the physical body. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Because of what we gave up, what I gave up for Christ, not gave up like it was some great thing, but the things that were taken out of my life, a full-time job, ability to earn money like I'm used to, the things that I used to live in, the things I used to do, they all died. Not regarding that life in order to supply your lack of service to me. In other words, I depend on you. Without you, I got to go out and do it myself, which means who's going to do this then? So you see, he said, from a body point of view, there's a part of me that has to work now and then for the lack of service you have toward me. Now, there's been more than once I've gone to work. There's been more than once I've just done without because of your lack of service toward me. But that's not what the message is about. Now I preach it to my own body. And you and I both know, if you know anything at all about the body, that there are parts of your body that can deteriorate, parts of your brain that can die, parts of your body that just become useless, and other parts of your body then supply the lack of service that these parts did. You go blind, and your feeling, your sense of touch becomes immensely acute. Your sense of smell, your sense of hearing, they all band together to make up for the lack of service of your eyes. Or vice versa, if you become deaf, your hearing or your seeing then becomes very acute, and you start hearing with your eyes, sign language, lip reading. You become more aware of body language, and you become more perceptive of things around you. Well, what is happening? Well, God is providing, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to the rest of me. That's how it works in the body. That's how it works in the body physically. And that's how it works in the body spiritually. And that's why some of the wives are trying to be husbands, because of your lack of service toward them, husbands. That's why some of your children are trying to be fathers. They're rebellious because of your lack of service to them. They're trying to make up the difference. It's all supplying the lack of service. And your body is geared. If one part fails, something else takes over. And if you have to hobble on, you learn how to hop if you lose the use of one foot. You'll learn how to crawl if you'll get on a wheelchair and use your arm. See, it makes up for when one starts lacking service, something else has to make up the difference. Finally, my brethren, chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. In other words, I have no problem telling you that this is what I believe for myself. This is what I intend to do for me. I have no problem. In fact, I'm glad to be able to share it with you. What you do about it is your business. But beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, which is another word of saying your flesh. Dogs is backward dog, gods. Evil workers. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Christ, again, being first, means the anointed one, the one put in the position of rulership, a priest, a bishop, a pastor, the head, the one in authority. Well, in the body of Christ, that's me. At home, that's the husband's. But inside my body physically, that's my head. That's my soul. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, listen, and you've heard the expression, your first impression is the best one. Go with your first thought. After you start thinking, it's where you start muddying up all the whole works. He says, now start rejoicing in the rational thoughts and the fact that you have a brain that thinks, and quit having confidence in these appetites, these feelings in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying, look, I have more right to trust in the flesh than you do. First of all, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, born in Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee. I mean, this guy was perfect as far as the law was concerned. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I was putting Christians to death because I thought they were against God, putting them in prison. I know you've done a lot of things, but you haven't done that. Or have you? Persecuting your body. Persecuting the church. Putting your body in bondage. Putting yourself in prison. Making yourself obedient to everything that's wrong. Touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained, says, all of those things that I was, I counted them loss for Christ. All the things that I had before, I could care less about them now. This is what I want now. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Don't you understand? This doesn't say for the excellency of Christ, but for the knowledge of Christ. I told you Christ is your brain, your soul, the Jehovah saved, the ruler part of you. That's that. Now, where does knowledge go? Here, to Christ. But you see, your knowledge is invested in your body and what it wants. And when it doesn't get what it wants, you care what it thinks. And I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. To one degree, maybe to more degree than some of you and less than others. But this is the change that I'm praying and speaking about now. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So you see, all the things that I've lost so were dung. Crap, in other words. And you know what I'm talking about, because you have your own piles here and there. You piled it just as high as I did. Amen. And in probably as many places as well. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Through the faith that I believe that he's true. I believe this is going to work. See, where everybody's waiting for Christ to come back someday, and I'm telling you, he's already here. Man, you got to be closer to him here. God wants that closeness with you. Don't do it another way. Verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. I am comfortable with the fact that Christ died for me. I have no problem, no desire to want to die for anything or anybody. I wish I could say that about all of you. Threatening all the time. Threatening yourself. What's the problem? You're not comfortable with the death of Christ. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. Understand this. None of us is there. That's why we're still here, because we're not there. See, understand, there's just levels of perfection. And wherever you're bad and I'm better than you, then there's other areas that I'm worse than you and you're better than I am. None of us have attained. None of us are already perfect. We're not there yet. But I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to get what's got me in Christ. But see what the problem is now. You have what's got you, but it's not in Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. What does that basically mean? Forget the past. Forget what you did yesterday. Forget how much you screwed up this morning. Forget it all. It's past. Forget what you did 5 minutes ago, 1 minute ago. Forgetting all of those things, I press forward toward forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for unto those things which are before. Now, what does that mean? Behind and before, that would seem like it's the same thing. Before and behind. No. Behind means those things that have already happened, and before means what's before me. Well, this pulpit, this message, this Bible, these notes, my hands, these glasses, they're all before me. You're before me. So he says, I forget the things that have happened, that have gone past, and I'm just pressing towards the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which is, what is that? The things that are before me. So what is the blessing? What is the prize? Life. I can touch this. I have hands that will reach and touch this. I have eyes that will read this and transform these squiggly little marks into sense in my brain that will then form words that come out in words that your mind may not like, but they understand. Now, man, what a prize, what a blessing of God. And you thought it was money. You thought it was things. Well, one day you'll find out that the real blessing is what's right in front of you. The best things in life are free, aren't they? The best things are the things that God gave. Whatever you can buy, that just comes and goes. I'll tell you what's valuable, what you can't buy. What's free, because what's free comes from God. So he says, now, where did I leave off here? Yeah. Verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this, even this unto you. If there's any area, I want to know, toes, if you don't agree, God reveal that to me. Feet, hands, whatever. I want to know, I want my mind so clean, with blood so pure going through my mind, that my mind will be just like what it is, a computer system geared for one thing and one thing only, for the health of the body of Christ, which begins with me and extends toward you. I want to be able to see what's wrong and feel and know what's wrong with me. And I know that I can do that because I know what's wrong with you. I know you all so well. I can tell a change even in your look, in your attitude. I know your condition. I thought, well, my God, I've been using all of that. And I can see when any minute little change, I may not know exactly what's wrong, but I know something's wrong. Or at least I know something's different. And right away, my thoughts start turning towards you, and I start evaluating in my mind, oh, could it be this, could it be that? And I start praying, I start looking through the message and say, well, I wonder if it's this or that. Now I realize, Rube, that's good. But you start one step too late. I want my mind to have that same kind of awareness and perception of my body, every function of my body. I want it to be perfect. If one little thing starts to go wrong, and things do from time to time because we have a lot of bad things inside, but the minute my mind is aware of it, I have an immunity system. I have bishops and deacons in there. Amen. Whose job it is to clean out the church, the custodians of my body. Well, what kind of custodians would they be if they had no brooms, no vacuums, no dustbusters, no mops, no water, no water, no chemicals, no organic things to put? Where would the custodians be? Well, they'd be in there and they'd be doing a lot of nothing, wouldn't they? Or they might scrape a few things off, but basically you couldn't keep up with it. You need tools. You need equipment. You have deacons inside of you that are ill-equipped for the simple reason that you didn't understand. I didn't understand how important this was. I didn't understand. See, I was so pious like everybody else. Oh, I sacrificed myself for everybody else. Well, that's okay if that's not the beginning. But you see, my Bible says, physician, heal thyself. So you see, where I messed up is I was thinking about all of you, and I was starting to forget about myself, and even finding some virtue in persecuting my own body and depriving myself of some things for your sakes. Well, that's stupid. Jesus already did that. I'm not going to do that anymore. You're not worth it, by the way. Why? Why don't I do it? It's not that you don't have the word. I couldn't hope to pay the price. You're too damn valuable. Where could I come up with? What could I offer God for you? I mean, Jesus is the only thing he'll accept. Now, what do I have? Absolutely nothing that would even compare with that. So I'm stopping that. I'm going to take care of me. And then I'm going to extend that to you. And you're going to see there's going to be a big difference. Big difference in our relationship. Nevertheless, whereunto we are to attain, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Body, let's get in agreement here. Cut out the fighting. I don't want you to think that you're being robbed out of something because I'm going to withhold from you verbally. You don't have the right anymore. I don't want you to have wrong anymore. Let's start getting in agreement. Brethren, body, organs, heart, lungs, liver, be followers together of me. Start following my mind. When I tell you that's not good, agree with me. Don't fight with me. Now understand what I'm telling you. This is a prayer. This is a commandment that you're giving to your body. Now, if you do this and it doesn't work, then I'm a liar and I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But then so is Paul. And then that would make the Holy Spirit a liar too. But what if it works? Well, you think about it, that's the way you got in the mess to begin with. You told your body that you wanted to do this and this. And your body rebelled, but it gave in to you. Brethren, liver, heart, lungs, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. In other words, saying, not only do I want you to start, but I want you all to start following each other. Begins from the top and all the way through. For many walk, I'm going to finish verse 3 and then I'll do verse 4 tonight. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now I'm just going to talk about the enemies of the cross of Christ and then we're going to finish tonight. And we'll tell you who they are. First, we'll tell you how they end up. These enemies of the cross, their end is destruction. It's not that they die, they destroy. Their end is destruction. Their end is not to be destructed. That's already been done by Christ Jesus. Their end is destruction. They're out to kill. They're out to destroy. They're out to undo. Construct means to put things together. Destruct means to take them apart. So what he's trying to do, he's trying to divide you. He wants your liver to want alcohol. Your brain to say, oh no, I'll get a divorce, I'll do this, I'll get pimples, I'll get a red nose. And then he wants your liver to say, oh, we want, or your kidneys, oh, we want sugar, we want diabetes so bad. And then the rest of you say, oh no, we can't do that, because then the butt says, no, then we have to take shots and those hurt, and just all this conflict back and forth. He says, no, no, he says, their end is to take you all apart, make you all work individually. And I've watched bodies that try to work individually. The blood pressure, the heart, what are we going to do? They put a machine on it. Goes too fast. Then they got to slow it down. And then it starts going, and then it's back and forth, the blood pressure, the heart, the temperature. They just don't know. So you take them apart, and they don't know. Without the brain to control this whole thing, division, it falls apart. I've watched that with my own eyes numerous times. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their appetites. The only thing they care about is what tastes good and feels good. And also whose glory is in their shame. They even become proud of the fact that they have things to be ashamed of. Like, who cares? My business, my body. Yes, it is. But see, you're not talking about from one body to the other. You're talking about internally. Your body saying to your mind, who cares? We don't want that. We know better than you. Well, one day your mind's going to shut down, and then your body's going to say, oh, we didn't know better. It'll be too late. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven, again, means the gospel, the Bible, peace, prosperity, happiness. That's what we ought to be talking about. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Notice this does not say who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned into his glorious body.